a very good evening to you. Welcome along to another Sweet and Swing here on Manx Radio. My name's Howard Kane. As always, it is a pleasure to have your company on a Friday evening. What have we got? Couple of drummers for you. Chick Webb and Louis Belson. Not together, though. Some service bands on the air. Bit of George Shearing. But to get us started, how about some red roses for a blue lady?
Sweetest gal in town, and if they do the trick, I'll hurry back to pick your best white orchid for her wedding gown.
Good way to get going, isn't it? Guy Lombardo and his Royal Canadians, of course. Guy was, well, I think we've said in the past, quite an adventurer, speedboat racer, I seem to call, and also a restaurateur in later life, and had a very, very full and successful life, as far as I can tell, and certainly helped by the sweet music, the sweetest sound next to heaven. I think that was one of the phrases used to describe the band. I think that was the one, wasn't it? Is that right? Guy Lombardo? Someone will tell me if I'm wrong in any case. Either way, good, sweet music and hugely popular in his time. Don Rodney taking the vocals, or Don Raganese, as he was, I think, originally born in 1913, but Raganese, I'm assuming it was Italian name, is that? I don't know, or Portuguese, something along these lines, but actually changed it to Rodney. Born in the States, like I said, in 1913, and then went on to sing with Guy Lombardo and his Royal Canadians from, well, I think about the 40s, around about there, the 1940s or something. Nice, sort of open, rounded voice he had, ideally suited to this sweet music being provided by Guy and the boys and girls. How are we all this evening? I say boys and girls, I think they were all boys, weren't they? You forget that. It's so difficult to be PC and non-PC when you go back in the days when PC wasn't invented. But you say boys and girls now, it was all boys then. We all know where we're coming from on this one. How are we, in any case? Surviving? We seem to have headed towards autumn at last and the rundown towards Christmas. I said the other day, and someone said, don't say that word yet. Well, it's Christmas, you know, heading towards... I personally like Christmas. I'm not that worried about it yet. Yes, I'll have to do the Christmas cards and a bit of Christmas shopping, but at the end of the day, some nice food, some nice wine, see some nice friends. What's not to like? And I like singing carols, so I unapologetically am a Christmas fan and don't have any of this. Oh, you can't mention it yet. Yes, and I know the tinsel's in the shops and things, but that's just the world we live in. If you don't want to buy it, don't buy it. Buy it in December. I usually leave it too late, never mind too early. Anyway, I hope you're surviving. Now that it's going a little bit cooler, the heating might be coming on. I actually had the wood-burning stove lit for the first time in, oh, I don't know, 6 months, 7 months or something the other day. Very pretty it was too. And I think even the heating might have been clicking on occasionally, although I try and keep it as low as I can. Plenty coming up. As I say, there was two drummers for the price of one. We might even back-to-back them. Yeah, why not? Chick Webb and Louis Belson. Bit of shearing as well. And I was going to bring you more of the Bing Crosby tape, but someone has disconnected the cassette player. Honestly, you get this new tech like cassettes, and before you know it, it's a case of, oh, it's old tech now. We've disconnected it. It is infuriating at times, it has to be said. Ah, well, honestly, ever since they've invented the wireless, it's just all gone downhill, isn't it? Thank you. enjoyed that. Did you like that one? Did you recognise it? More to the point, not perhaps one of the best known tunes that you'll have heard in recent years. A message from the man in the moon. Jerry Moore playing the piano there very effectively with some nice, tasty, quiet, uncredited, sadly, drum accompaniment on the brushes, which I always like. But yeah, Jerry Moore, the song itself, A Message from the Man in the Moon. As I say, little heard, so give yourself a pat on the back if you recognised it. For a bonus point, did you know where it featured? Which famous film featured A Message from the Man in the Moon? I wouldn't have got it. It would have helped. But the answer is in the Marx Brothers, Day at the Races. Absolute classic film. Haven't seen it for ages. Must go and dig it out and watch it again. A Day at the Races with the Marx Brothers featured A Message from the Man in the Moon, played by Jerry Moore. Completely underrated, as so many of the artists we feature on Sweet and Swing are, I think. For every really famous one, there's several more who never quite sort of got the recognition they deserved. But Jerry, well, he worked with the Sublime to the Ridiculous, as they say. He accompanied Adelaide Hall. That's the Sublime bit. And he also accompanied Sid Millward's Nitwits. Yeah, well, I'll leave you to work out which bit that is. Also, one of the two piano players featured with Victor Sylvester and had great jazz feelings. And you'll hear that if you listen to Rosetta with Victor Sylvester. Great track with Jerry Moore featured on that one. Tis Sweet and Swing, H with you through until, well, the top of the hour, I guess. And here is a very big noise from Winnetka. Big noise from Winnetka, not the classic Benny Goodman version, but that one brought to you courtesy of the cheeky chappy himself, Harry Roy, and his band, with Harry himself very effectively taking the vocals. I like that, enjoyed it. No prizes for guessing who this next artist is. I think there's only one really like him. Well, have a listen, you can tell me. Going to get too many prizes from me if you tell me that was Larry Adler. I don't know anyone else who could play the harmonica like that. Unbelievable. And I still always remember him on the Parkinson programme. Remember Parky? Well, of course you remember Parky, don't you? The classic. And to my mind, still one of the best interviewers. I mean, I've warmed to Graham Norton over the years, and he's certainly very skilled at what he does as well. But Parky still sort of stays out there in front in many ways. It's different styles and different times and different eras, all the rest of it, I guess. But yes, but I digress. The fact was, he had Larry Adler, and I'm fairly certain it was Isaac Perlman, I think it was, the violin player, and Larry Adler. And he just said, maybe they, you know, checked it a little bit beforehand, but it wouldn't surprise me if they just did it on the spot. A beautiful version of Summertime on violin and harmonica. Really lovely. Check it out. You find it on YouTube sometime if you've got a few minutes to kill. Lovely, really lovely. But Larry Adler, well, great character, and born in Maryland and went on to have an amazing life, and one of the very, well, the first harmonica players to perform major works. And there are major works written for the instrument. And often, not surprisingly, they were written for him because there weren't many other people who could do it. Jean Bergen's Concerto for Harmonica and Orchestra was one, or Cyril Scott's Serenade for Harmonica and Piano in 1936. And then Vaughan Williams got in on the act. Romance in D-flat for Harmonica, Piano and String Orchestra, premiered in New York in 1952. In the 40s, he and the dancer Paul Draper, harmonica and dancer, anyone? Why not? Formed an act, and they toured nationally and internationally, performing individually, then together in each performance. Sounds like a great act, doesn't it? Dance and harmonica. Why not? And then, of course, perhaps for many people, the most famous thing they know about Adler, the 1953 film Genevieve, which, of course, featured playing the soundtrack. It brought him an Oscar nomination for his work and quite a lot of money as well. But interestingly, his name was originally removed from the credits in the United States due to blacklisting. Can you believe that? Well, you better believe it, because it's true. Great sound, in any case. Right, OK, let's go on to the drummers then. I told you you'd have a little two-for-one, so sit back and enjoy both of them back-to-back. First off, Chick Webb, and then we'll go straight into Louis Belson. So here we go then, Chick and his Harlem Congo. Thank you. Way you do it, as they say on the drums. Louis Belson finishing off Blues for Keeps from the album Drummer's Holiday. Louis Belson and his orchestra. Charlie Shavers on trumpet there. Eddie Burt trombone. Ernie Wilkins alto. Teddy Lee on the baritone. Nat Pierce piano. Ray Brown, great Ray Brown bass. And Louis Belson himself at the drums. And before that, who did we hear before that? Oh yeah, I remember. Chick Webb with that great Harlem Congo. And another man I'd love to have seen, amazing character, an amazing drummer in the old style drum kits before they sort of changed to the bebop style. So a lot of the music we hear feature those, the old kits. And you know the sort of ones I mean, you'll see with the Duke Ellington Orchestra and the like. So the bass drum was much larger and was the dominant feature. Huge bass drums compared to the bass drums that you see in sort of jazz clubs and such like today. So large bass drum, and then normally you'd have perhaps one tom-tom, or maybe some Chinese-type tom-toms. And then quite often an array of woodblocks, Chinese woodblocks, were very much in prominence, as were perhaps some bells, and then maybe a selection of different types of symbols but used for accents. They didn't really use the ride symbol, so that was the big change, of course. And I'll stop boring you with drum anarchism then, but the change from taking the rhythm from the bass drum, doing the four on the floor, the bum, 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 to keep the beat up, that was transferred onto the ride cymbal when bebop arrived and was split up then into different patterns, so it wasn't all just ting, 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 ting. Right, I'll finish the lesson there. You'll be bored, won't you? Hope you enjoyed the two drummers in any case. Very different stars and very different music. Louis Bellson, and before that, the wonderful Chick Webber, like I said, is meant to have been a great entertainer, brilliant drummer, and a really, really nice bloke and excellent entertainer, who always put his musicians before himself, I think. How about some vocals? Why not? I hear you shout. Mary Lee with Roy Fox in 1937. This year's Kisses. This year's Kisses, Mary Lee, of course, with Roy Fox and the band, like I said, in 1937, and a bit of a sort of troubled life, although she did live to a good old age in the end, happily, which is not always the case with some of these great singers and stars. But she started out, I don't know whether it would be allowed so much these days, 13 years old. And there's a great little story here saying that the microphone announcement at the local store in Glasgow came as a shock because 13-year-old Mary had, unknown to her parents, skipped off school to take part in an audition for Roy Fox's band. She didn't think anything would come of it, but the American band leader had already decided her voice was outstanding and expected her to win the forthcoming event, and she did. It was agreed she'd then sign a contract on her 14th birthday when she joined the band in the Streatham Locarno in London in September 1935, complete with a chaperone. Well, you'd have to have, I suppose, wouldn't you? Same as now. She was advertised then not as Mary McDivitt, which was her real name, but as Little Mary Lee. And went on to, have quite a career, catapulted into the limelight. For three glorious years, she says, she was groomed in every way. And we mean grooming in a slightly different way, not the grooming we hear so sadly on the news these days. She means she was groomed in speech, dress and manners, you name it, I had it. So basically they sort of gave her an image, as they would say these days. But her voice didn't get any training because her voice was natural, and Roy Fox so liked the natural sound of her voice, he tried to ban her from listening to the likes of Ella Fitzgerald and Peggy Lee, rather good singers, I think you might agree, in case they spoiled her style. He also banned his boys from using bad language in her presence. Well, quite right too, a young lady like that. And records and radio programmes came and went, and, as you can imagine, going from unknown, very young, into stardom does have its problems. She rubbed shoulders with the likes of Sid Bookman and Harry Gold and Jack Nathan and Morris Berman and Ivor Morantz, and sang duets with Denny Dennis. Yeah, so on it went, and then she went with Jack Payne's band. Well, never actually spoke to Jack Payne, it said, at all. All transactions were through her manager. Didn't enjoy that at all. And then joined Jack Jackson, who she really, really enjoyed. Went quite the opposite there with Jack Jackson. Really enjoyed a happy time with Jack Jackson, but never recorded with either of those bands. And she tired of touring and took a position at a Soho nightclub. And there, she was occasionally accompanied by a young blind pianist by the name of, you've got it, George Shearing. Even recognise George Shearing there in a track just called Butterfly Samba, or if you prefer, Samba de Barbaletta, or Barbaletta, from around about the 1950s. I think that was George Shearing with Strings and Things. There he was, yes, playing slightly differently perhaps than when he played with Mary Lee, I dare say, but he had a great career as well, of course, didn't he? Now, full disclosure time, because I did say I was going to bring you some service bands on the air, didn't I? From Volume 2, Victory Party. I had the CD lined up from the collection out in the archives here, which I rescued from Music Man Towers. Vintage jazz band, wartime radio broadcasts. I thought, lovely, we'll have a little bit of this. Opened up, like so, and I find the music inside is very good, but not service bands of the air. It's actually Carol Gibbons and the Savoy Hotel Orpheans. Not quite what I expected. Bit of mislabeling going on there, or misplacing. I'll have to see if I can unite the two and get them back in the right cases. Oh dear, well, this was the problem, you see. It all got a little bit mixed up at one stage, and I've tried to put it right, but as you can tell, I haven't always succeeded. Never mind, never mind. Instead, we'll have a bit of the maestro, Glenn Miller and his orchestra. Wham, ribop, boom, bam. That's not just me, that's the name of the track. Good track, isn't it? It's actually better than the title might necessarily suggest if you didn't know it. Wham, bebop, beg your pardon, rhyme, rebop, boom, bam. Skipping ahead of myself, you see, because I was going to tell you that rebop was the original name, which is what they're referring to bebop when it first started coming out in this new sort of style, following on from the swing era, which Glenn and the boys made so famous and so effectively as well, and still sounds really good today, doesn't it? But when the new sort of sounds were coming out of the States, Charlie Parker and the Boys and Max Roach and Thelonious Monk, Bud Powell, all these sort of people, Dizzy Gillespie, starting to play this new music, which sounded very disjointed and strange and modern, and long solos didn't swing in the sort of same sort of way as I was saying before, about particularly coming from the drums there, then its original name was Rebop. And then this became Bebop. And that's what they're referring to there. Rebop, boom, bam. Durham, Taps Miller, Marion Hutton on the vocals there with the orchestra in 1939. I'm going to go back to the other side of the Atlantic for this next one from some of the great English dance bands of the 1930s. Incidentally, while I was doing that, I had a quick look at that video I was talking about. It is still online on YouTube. Isaac Perlman, of course, is the person I was after, a wonderful violin player. Neither of them, sadly, with us, and Larry Adler. But take a look at the little solo of Summertime on the Parkinson programme. Yeah, here we go then, back to the dance bands of 1930s. Not quite that time yet, but it is heading close to the time where we might say, Auf Wiedersehen, my dear.
I know my heart won't beat again until the day we meet again. Sweetheart, goodbye, Auf Wiedersehen, Auf Wiedersehen, my dear.
Nice ending. I like that. Yeah, little chime on the vibes there, I think it is, by the sound of it at the end. Auf Wiedersehen, my dear. Jack Payne, we were talking about him earlier on, and his band Les Allen taking the vocals. And it is almost Auf Wiedersehen, my dear. The time has gone yet again for Sweden Swing, as it has for so many of these great bands. You look back and you see the pictures and you think, my goodness. It's amazing where the time goes. Make the most of it, I suppose, isn't it? Carpe diem and all that. It'll be jumping in next week. What are we going to finish off with? Well, we'll just finish off with another little bit of our great trumpets from jazz to swing. We've been dipping in and out of this for a few programmes now, haven't we? We've been really enjoying it. Some of the great jazz trumpeters, and Not many better, I would argue, well, to a fair degree, than Cootie Williams. Here he is, Concerto for Cootie. Concerto for Cootie, composed in the last 10 years or so that he spent with Duke. He left in 1940 and joined Benny Goodman, but then returned to Duke in the 1960s. He obviously realised what he was missing. Not to say Benny Goodman wasn't good. That's about it. Jumping in next week, we'll be back the week after that. Look after yourselves, and I'll see you then. Cheerio.